Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast series, Brain Medicine, where you relax your brain while we talk about artists and their songs and how they impact our lives. I'm your host, DJ Boombox, only on Penguin Radio. Hello, everybody. Today's show will be a little sad, so make sure you have some tissues right next to you. For today's show, we will be talking about a specific K-pop artist and his story. Not everybody loves K-pop, and not everybody knows about K-pop. I want you to think about the music and the person I am talking about. Well, not just him, but his music. Mostly his music. So K-pop is Korean music. It is a music genre originating in South Korea, characterized by a wide variety of audiovisual elements. Although it includes all genres of popular music within South Korea, the term is often used in a narrow sense to describe modern form of South Korean pop music, drawing inspiration from a range of styles and genres from around the world, such as Western pop music, rock, experimental, jazz, gossip, Latin, hip-hop, R&B, reggae, dance, and so forth. The more modern form emerged with one of the earliest K-pop groups, CO Taji and Boys, forming in 1992. Their experimentation with different styles and genres of music and integration of foreign musical elements helped reshape and modernize South Korea's contemporary music scene. Modern K-pop idol culture began with the boy band in 1996 that amassed enormous fandoms of teenagers and young adults. After a slump in early K-pop form from 2003, TVXQ and BoA started a new generation of K-pop idols that broke the music genre into the neighboring Japanese market and continued to popularize K-pop intentionally. With the advent of online social networking service and Korean TV shows, the current global spread of K-pop and Korean entertainment, known as Korean Wave, is seen not only in East and Southeast Asia, but also Latin America, India, North Africa, and Middle East, and the Western world, gaining widespread global audience. So as I said, today K-pop is not very known all that much. Today, there's a big group. Their name is BTS, and most people acknowledge K-pop based off them because they're the only group who's made a ton of records in biggest group in the U.S. right now for K-pop. And so basically, they're representing K-pop. So we're going to move on to a different band. And this band actually has to do with the person we're going to talk about later on in the show. So this band is named SHINee. SHINee is a South Korean boy group formed by SM Entertainment in 2008. The group is composed of four members, Eunwoo, Ki, Minho, and Taemin. Originally a five-piece, unfortunately, they have lost the member. His name was Jook. So SHINee were introduced as a contemporary R&B boy group by their company with the goal to be trendsetters in all areas of music, fashion, dance, etc., and debuted on May 2008 with their first EP, Replay, on SBS Inkigayo with their single Replay. The group gained attention for starting a fashion trend among students, with the media dubbed the SHINee trend, in August 2008. The group released their first Korean studio album, SHINee World, which won the Newcomer Album of the Year at the 23rd Golden Disc Awards. SHINee further consolidated their popularity on the South Korean music scene with the follow-up singles Ring-a-Ding-Dong and Lucifer. Ring-a-Ding-Dong charted on the tops of several Korean music charts and gained popularity all over Asia. Lucifer was nominated for the Best Dance Music Award at the Mnet Asian Music Awards in 2010 for its outstanding choreography. In 2012, the group released Sherlock, which became the fifth most sold album of the year with over 180,000 copies sold. The group has also been included in the Forbes list of Korea Power Celebrity multiple times, once in 2014 and once in 2016. In mid-2011, SHINee signed with EMI Records Japan to venture into the Japanese music scene. Their Japanese version of the single Replay sold over 100,000 copies, the highest number of sales for a Japanese debut single recorded by Oricon for South Korean group at the time. It was followed by their first Japanese studio album, The First, on December 7, 2011. Both were certified gold. Both were certified gold by RAJ for selling over 100,000 copies in 2011. The group also held their Japanese debut premium reception at Abbey Road Studios in London, making them the first Asian artist to perform there. 2 years later, they released their second Japanese album, Boys Meet You, in 2013, followed by I'm Your Boy in 2014, D Times Scene Times D in 2016, and Five in 2017. SHINee are considered to be one of the best live vocal groups in K-pop and are known for their highly synchronized and complex dance routines, being awarded the Best Dance Performance Award at the Mnet Asian Music Awards 3 times in a row for their dance performances to Sherlock, Dream Girl, and View. SHINee's signature musical style is contemporary R&B, but the group is known for their experimental sound, incorporating various genres including funk rock, hip-hop, and EDM. The group's popularity in their native country has earned them numerous accolades and the title Princess of K-pop. Next, we're going to talk about Jokyeon. Kim Jokyeon was born on April 8th, 1990 and died December 8th, 2017. Better known as Jokyeon, was a South Korean singer, songwriter, recorder, and radio host and author. He was the main vocalist of the South Korean boy band SHINee and participated in SM Entertainment's project group SM The Ballad. Jokyeon began a solo career in January 2015 with their first extended play album, Bass. It peaked at number one on both the Billboard World Album Chart and the Gaon Album Chart, September 17th, the same year. Jokyeon released a compilation album, Story Op 1. His debut studio album, She Is, was released on May 24th, 2016, followed by his second compilation album, Story Op Number 2, on April 24, 2017. Jokyeon remained musically active until he committed suicide. His final album, Poet Artist, was released on January 23, 2018. And that also hit the worldwide Billboard albums at number one. Yeah, that's crazy. He was an absolute amazing singer. He actually has a really deep story. I'm not gonna get into too much detail because it was really, really sad. And so, but I will tell you about it a little bit. He was really, really depressed and he had a lot of mental thoughts going on in his head. And I guess he felt like that he was not worth living anymore. So he decided to kill himself. And it's really, really sad because his last words to his family or to his sister, it says that, "Tell them how well I've done. Tell them how good I was." That's so heartbreaking. Can you imagine getting that type of text? Like, I could not imagine getting that, especially from one of my brothers. That would be just horrible, you know? That's the worst way. And what's even more heart-wrenching about this and about his story is that he would try to tell people, "I need help. Somebody come get me," through his music and through a lot of his interviews. You can just listen to the way he speaks. He was so sad. He would cry into tears and he would tell people, "I don't know how to live like this." And he was on medications. He had help. It's not like this boy didn't get any help. It's just, he just couldn't live a life like that no more. He didn't want to live in pain anymore. So he decided to off himself in his own apartment. But I think that he's in a better place now. I hope that he is happy now. But technically, he's not completely gone. Even though he's physically not here no more, his music still lives on. And his music is a part of his band's and his family's life now. Because that's the only thing they have left of him is his music, you know? And that's why I chose to talk about him today, because I want to talk about his music, which we will get to in a few. His music is really powerful. It's a little bit of old style mixed up with modern pop music, but also a lot of them on this one album that I like, which was one of his more recent albums, not his last album, but the one beforehand. It was a really, really sad album. But there's one particular song on there that I cannot go through listening. It's called Lonely. You could check it out if you want to. And it's really, really sad because it literally says, "I am so lonely." Like the chorus is, "I am so lonely. I can't bear this anymore." Like it's so, so sad. I don't understand how he lived through his life being so sad all the time. But I'm really sad that he actually left, because he would have been so happy about his accomplishments today, about how his album hit number one on the Billboard, and how people are now acknowledging him and acknowledging his music. You know, he would have been so happy. He would have been a very happy person. And his band members are very proud of him too. And I feel really, really bad for them because they had to go through something like that. If I were them, I probably would have not been able to go on. But they did it because his mom asked them specifically, hey, you need to move forward. I want you to continue with this because Joakim would want you to continue on this. And so they decided to continue. They are still doing songs and singing, mainly because she said that. If she didn't say that, I don't know what their decisions would have been. They definitely wouldn't break up. I know that for sure. But they might have stopped doing things for a really long time. But so what's interesting to me is the first concert that they came back in without him, with just the four of them, it was really interesting because what they did is instead of moaning and groaning about him leaving and grieving about everything and talking about it, they talked about how they felt about it in general. But they talked about how they individually feel. And they talked to the fans. And it's more of a motivational thing than it is a grieving, sad thing. And that made it really special. And it made it really special for me. So the song that we're going to listen to right now is called, it's called Let Me Out. Now this song is super, super sad because it's basically saying, please get me out of here. It's talking about him kind of drowning himself in these really, really sad thoughts, you know? And he's just screaming out, somebody help me. Here's one of the lines. The line says, my line of vision has fallen, not because I lost you, but I know I can't hold you even if I miss you to death. Ever since we let go of each other's hands, I have gone blind. Now I don't care who it is. Someone please hold me. I'm exhausted from the world. Someone please wipe me. I am drenched with tears. Someone please notice my struggles first. Please acknowledge the poor me. Please help, even if your eyes are coldly wrapped around me. Like, those are some really deep lyrics right there. Like, you can just tell that he was depressed and sad just through that song, because it's like, oh my goodness. Like, he really was. Like I said, he was calling out right there. That song is a perfect example of him saying, somebody come help me. I need some help. I can't do this by myself. Now, this song was released on April 24th, 2017, off the album The Collection, The Story Up Number 2. Yeah, I love that song. And his performance in that song, if you ever want to check it out, you can check it out live on YouTube. And it's amazing. You'll be blown away by his stage and what he does with his stage and how he does it. Our next one is called Sentimental. Now, Sentimental is off his recent album. I really love this song. It's so good. And it says, I didn't care if you played me or not. Whatever it was, I just like you. Hey, I used to pound the floor, hit the walls, and go crazy before. But still, I like that you were next to me. So he's talking about a girl, and he's talking about like how much he liked her being there. So that's why I like that song so much. Thank you for taking time to listen to Brain Medicine, where you relax your brain while we talk about artists and their songs and how they impact our lives. Again, I'm your host, DJ Boombox, here on Penguin Radio. Have a rockin' day, folks.